Shall we all rise for the reading of God's word? Today's message comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 15 through 18. But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come and may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will be known and come to light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Thank you. You may be seated.
Jesus had been proclaiming a message and really likened it unto broadcasting seed. There are different kinds of soil. The different kinds of soil receive the seed in different ways. In many respects, fundamentally, what he's saying is there's good soil and there's bad soil. The good soil is fertile and it will grow and fruit will come. The bad soil will not accept the seed. And there are different ways of not accepting the word of God. At first, people may hear the word of God and the proud will get offended. They become offensive over it. It will offend them in many ways and they will reject it. They'll become angry, apoplectic, hostile. One of the examples is found in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, in which Jesus proclaims a message and they want to kill him. They get ready to throw him off the cliff. And you can see the hostility. It is strange to me that the good news that God loves you would be so hated by men that it would just make them angry. But of course, we know one of the things that makes them most angry is in order to receive the goodness of God, you have to admit that you're a sinner. And people don't like to do that. There are some that are uncommitted, and when they hear the word of God, they begin to resist anything that might have a hint of you have to make a commitment. You have to be all in. And they begin to resist this. It makes them feel uncomfortable. In fact, by the time you start talking about sacrifice or any kind of selflessness, then they really start backing off. Because they don't mind the superficial thing of just, you know, I'm in church and I'm a part of something and these people are kind of nice to be with. But they don't want to have to be committed. We've seen that in different relationships, right? I mean, there are people that like to hang around somebody, they just don't want to commit. And these people, in this sense, begin to resist anything that would cause the relationship to grow any deeper. They don't want it to take firm root in any way. There are those that hear the word of God and they seem to be restricted. And the reason why they're restricted is they love other things. It's kind of like Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he loved the world and so he deserted Paul. What it's telling us is that when you begin to love other things, it's hard to love the one thing. And this is why Scripture says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you do that, then the love of the Father is not in you. Scripture is telling us that those things that we embrace will restrict our love, and as it's actually given within the text, will actually choke out our love for God, won't allow us to receive what he tells us to receive. Because once again, there are going to be times that God's going to say, do you love me more than these? As he asked Peter that simple question. And you might ask a rich man, are you willing to sell everything and follow me? And at what time God may call you to do that, I don't know. But I know this, you have to be willing to do that. And that's part of the receptivity of the Word of God. If in fact you feel repulsed by the word of God, if in fact you feel yourself resisting the word of God, if you feel restricted by virtue of the things that you embrace, then Scripture says it will never be good soil. It will not take root. It will not bear fruit. It comes to the end in verse 15, if you look with me. The seed of the good ground, this is the fertile ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast to it and bear fruit with perseverance. One of the themes of the book of Hebrews is enduring. And it says, you have received if you remain firm until the end. The great evidence that you have what is real is that it's persevering, because you have received the Spirit of truth, which cannot fail. It's the Spirit of truth that you've received. So Scripture is telling us that there's this sense of perseverance. In addition to, it's actually describing how you receive the word with an honest and good heart. Now, honest is basically you being honest with yourself. It reminds me of that Psalm 32, right? You know, I kept quiet about my sin, my body wasted away. But then I said to myself, I'm not going to be deceptive anymore. I'm going to come clean. And I confessed my sin and he forgave me. Well, you have to actually be honest about. And oftentimes people are hearing the word of God and, you know, they might be thinking about everybody else, but they're not thinking about themselves. And they might be thinking about how interesting the message was, but they're not thinking about changing. And they're not thinking about what the Spirit of God is telling them. Scripture says that the Spirit of God is actually calling you. And today, if you hear his voice, the Spirit says in Hebrews, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He's talking to you. But that ground can become hardened because you can resist it for whatever reason. And I don't know why people don't make commitments, you know. But I can basically say it falls under these three categories. You know, you just don't like what it's saying. Or you don't like that you're going to have to give up something. Or you don't like the fact that you're going to have to make a commitment. But you begin to resist and reject the word of God. Jesus then changes in some ways. We might even perceive that verse 16, he's trying to mix metaphors. But what he's doing is he's giving us a picture of what it means to receive the word of God and how it changes us. And the receptivity of the word of God will change you. It's not if, it will. If in fact there have been a true receptivity to it. And so he makes mention of that, if you look with me, in chapter 8, in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, a vessel. Luke actually gives something different than some of the other Gospels make mention of a basket, which are smaller. He uses a container, and he seems to be concerned with the fact that you're lighting this not only for yourself, but for others, and so it's a bigger lamp than just a small lamp in the passage. Now the one, after lighting the lamp, doesn't cover it over with a container, nor does he put it under the bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. The first verse is actually telling us that there should be a reason why the light is lit. There should be a reason why you should be coming, and you are coming to the Word of God. Strangely enough, I think there are a lot of people that come to the Word of God, and if you were to ask them, why are you here? They're not real sure why they're here. But there needs to always be a purpose why you light a lamp. Why are you lighting the lamp? Well, there's a reason to light the lamp. You want to see, right? You want to perceive things. And if you were to fundamentally go down the list, it would basically say, to help me see clearly, to keep people from stumbling, to keep me from stumbling. It would be basically to keep me in a way that I would know the path to walk, because without the lamp you wouldn't be able to see that. And hopefully, by virtue of your being able to see, you could be productive and helpful to other people. It actually creates a venue by which you can help somebody and do something for somebody. The purpose of the lamp, therefore, is to reveal things. And man has a tendency to discard the great light that God has placed before them. But when you have it, things will change. And Jesus is fundamentally saying your life will change if you received it. Now, as we go on, what we're going to see is that men can think that they have the light. And by virtue of that, things just get darker. Jesus will make mention of those that are blind guides leading the blind. And what he's fundamentally saying is they act like they know where they're going, but what begins to be revealed is they don't know where they're going, and they ultimately find, and you will find this out, that the place that they're going is causing greater hurt and greater harm. Lives are being more miserable rather than actually getting better. The effects of light is it enlightens. It actually helps. If you look with me in Ephesians in chapter 5, Paul will make mention of the fact that we actually, as sons of God, are light. Ephesians chapter 5. If you just pick up with me in verse 3, don't let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthy silliness or talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater, who has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't become partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead, even expose them. You say, well, how do I expose them? You just be light. It doesn't, here again, it doesn't go around telling you that you have to say something. It's telling you by virtue of the way that you live, you begin to expose the darkness. You light a lamp in a room, it lightens everything in the room. And it begins to reveal the things that are in the room. Some things you might want to cover up, but it's still being revealed. And Scripture is telling us that that's what the Word of God does. It comes in and it's going to produce. It's going to bring forth. There is a reason why we listen to the Word of God. Titus will say this, if you look with me in Titus in chapter 3. Titus in chapter 3 will say that there's a reason why the grace of God has actually appeared to us. Verse 11 reads this way, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men," watch verse 12, "instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds, beneficial, helpful deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority." What is he saying? Well, he's basically saying that the grace of God, the light of God that has come upon us, has appeared for a reason. It is that we might be lights as well, that we might benefit others as well. There's a reason for lighting the lamp. There's a reason for bringing the light in. The way that it's put in Peter, 2 Peter 1:19, "You do well to pay attention to his word as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." The Word of God is this light, this lamp that begins to light up. You're listening to the words of God. You do well to keep that lamp going until the day star rises in your heart, until the permanent light comes within you and you become lights of the world. That's what the Word of God does. It is light that comes into your life. It tells you what the truth is. How you receive it, how you hear it, makes all the difference in the world. And that fundamentally is going to be his point here in the text. If you look with me in Luke chapter 8, where he says in verse 17, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light." Watch verse 18, because this is the fundamental point of it. "Therefore, take care how you listen." That's the point. You have to be careful how you listen, how you receive the light. The Bible is telling us that we need to listen in a certain way in order for this to become productive in our lives. The Gospel of Mark will put this in another way. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, he'll say, "Take care what you listen to." That's interesting. If you were to parallel this with 1 John chapter 4, John will say, "The world listens to the world, therefore they accept you. But we listen to each other. We listen to the gospel. We listen to the word of God. And therefore, these are the things we listen to." You can actually choose what you're going to listen to. And you find yourself, if you find yourself listening too much to the world, you're going to find yourself either disagreeing with them, or you're going to find yourself becoming like them. But you're not going to be in the place of benefit, because it's not light. So Scripture says, fundamentally, be careful what you listen to. And then this text will say, be careful how you listen. Now let me just say this. When this became clear to me, then the Word of God began to open up for me. Because I have found that most of the time, people open up the Word of God and they perceive it as just another book. And by virtue of that, they treat it as such. So the way that they listen makes all the difference. And if you open up this book and open it up as just another book, you're going to say to yourself, "I'm not getting it. I'm not feeling it. I don't understand it." All these things will start coming to you. Why? Because you're not listening right. Scripture says, be careful how you listen. What it fundamentally is talking about is that you need to come to this word with reverence. You need to come with a sense of attentiveness. You need to come in the spirit of Christ, in the sense that as he comes before the Father, he says, "Whatever you say, I'm going to do." I mean, he literally says this. Is that the spirit? Or are you just kind of reading the book and you go, "You know, I'm just maybe... What are you doing? I'm lighting a lamp. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to hide it under the rug after I finish." So you have no purpose in lighting the lamp? There's no reason for what you're doing? You're seeing it as something that's not applicable to you. You're seeing it as something that doesn't matter in your life. And by virtue of that, you're actually taking a lamp and saying it's worthless, there's no reason for it. But the very thing that it was meant to do is to make your vision clear, to help you and to keep you, as Peter will say in 2 Peter 1, to keep you from stumbling. It's going to keep you from being unproductive, because when you're in the darkness, you can't see what needs to do, what you need to do and what you shouldn't do. So the passage is virtually telling us you have to take care, approach this thing in a discerning way. The simplicity of the way that he puts it is in verse 18, "Therefore, take care how you listen." The "take care" is actually the word blepo, which means look. So he's basically saying, take care how you look and listen. In other words, how you perceive what is being said, take care. I know people that open up Scripture and one of their main desires is to twist it and distort it, to somehow manipulate it into fitting in with the way that they live, so they can, maybe they can feel better about their sins, maybe they can somehow rationalize the way that they live. And so they're opening up the Word of God, not for the sake of it bringing light to their lives and exposing even things that are hidden, but it's for the purpose of just manipulation. I know people that open up the Word of God, and maybe they just do it because it's part of the regimen of the day. You know, you got to read so many chapters of Scripture. I'm not totally against the fact that there are these programs in which you can read through the Bible, but I would encourage you, don't just read through the Bible. Get in the Bible and say, what is this saying to me? How does this apply to me? We fundamentally ask people to go through Scripture and say, and ask these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean by what it says? And how does this apply to me? If you're not asking those three questions as you're going through Scripture, you're losing the benefit of why it's there. There's a purpose why you're lighting the lamp. It is to shed light on things. And it is to change things. It's to change the way that you walk. It's to change the way that you see things. To change the things that you do and the benefit that you are to people. It's going to make a difference. Scripture says that in 2 Peter 1:16, that we did not follow cleverly devised tales. So this Bible is not a cleverly devised tale. It doesn't just tell us interesting stories that we read and, wow, that's someone got swallowed by a big fish, you know. We get really excited about that. But there's a reason for these, and it should be lighting our pathway. The way that it's put in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13, Paul writes to Thessalonians, and he says, I'm just really thankful for you because you didn't receive the Word of God as words of men, but you received it for what it really was, Word of God. I mean, can you imagine if everybody really literally took this Scripture as the Word of God? What an amazing change it would be. This is actually God talking to you. And, you know, if you come to this with a sense of commonality, and it's nothing new, it's nothing big, it's basically on the level of the philosophical, the theoretical, man's educational, but it's not God's Word, you're not going to get anything out of it. The light begins to shine in the darkness, and everything begins to get revealed. This is one of the things that he's saying within the passage in verse 17, that nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known or come to light. That's the thing about the Word of God, isn't it? It reveals things. It's interesting that he actually uses this maxim several times in different contexts. Another context, if you look with me in Luke chapter 12, is in the context of Pharisees. And you know, Pharisees are hypocrites. I mean, that's what it says. So it says in chapter 12, verse 1, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of multitude to gather together, they were stepping on one another, which seems to confer that there's a big crowd. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's covering up, that's hiding things. That's not you being who you truly are. That's not being transparent. It's not being real. He says this in verse 2, but there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be made known. I've oftentimes thought of the passage, if you look with me in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, that makes reference to this, interestingly enough, in regard to people in the church. And sometimes, you know, there are those that come in the church and they have certain offices, and then as time goes on, things are revealed. The way it's put, if you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5, writes this way in verse 22, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thus share in the responsibility of the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. Then goes on and says, don't drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach for your frequent ailments. If I were just to put that in context, he's basically saying the decisions that you're going to have to make is going to make your stomach upset. And I've made a number of those. If you want to have to correct people, there's something wrong with you. If you enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be times that you have to do it. And you just follow the Lord. You just do. and the ramifications come. It then says this in verse 24. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. Watch the last phrase here. For others, their sins follow after them. Likewise, also, the deeds that are good are quite evident, and those who are otherwise cannot be concealed. You know, I take great solace in that, because what it's fundamentally saying is God will reveal, and light will reveal, and there is nothing hidden that won't come out. The word that he uses for hidden, if you look back in Luke chapter 8, is actually translated in Romans 2:29 as inward. So what it's basically saying is that there are things that are inward that people can't see. But God says, it will come to light. It will come to light. And I'm so thankful that God does bring them to light, aren't you? That you begin to see these things. And I've oftentimes been frustrated because, as in the book of Jude, you realize that there are many things that are in subterfuge and you can't see. Hidden reefs, it says, even within the body of Christ, hidden reefs you can't see. What I would like to do would just shine the light on them myself and say, ah, there you are, catch you. Stop doing it. But what Scripture says is, you know what you need to do? Keep yourself in the love of Christ. I'll take care of it. I can reveal. I'm fully capable of reveal. And the light of God, and as I begin walking in the light, this is the wonderful thing about the light of His Word. As I begin walking in the light, He begins to work on my behalf. And I would say this too, that when you're walking in the light, you'll begin to benefit others. This is fundamentally what he's talking about there. If you look in chapter 8 and come at the end of verse 16, that you put the lampstand on, you put the light on a lampstand in order for it to be seen. If you look at the end, in order that those who come in may see the light. You see the way it ends there? That is to say, when you receive the Word of God, it transforms you. Things are revealed to you to the point where you see clearly. Matthew would say, you take the log out of your eye, you can see clearly now. The psalmist will say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What he's fundamentally saying is, it keeps me from tripping up, and it helps me to see the way I need to go. All these things are beneficial to us. Nevertheless, when we're going the right way, we are actually vessels of light. And the Bible says, in fact, if you look with me in Matthew, there's a parallel passage to this. And the way he puts it is in context of us being light ourselves. Matthew chapter 5, if you look with me in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That is to say, the Word of God has benefited you to such a degree that there's a light in you that cannot be silenced, and that light affects other people. If your light is not affecting other people for the good, then how dark is the darkness? See, your light should be, your life should be a light. That in some cases, according to Ephesians chapter 5, you begin to expose things that are evil. In other cases, you bring in hope. And there should be those that walk around you, that live around you, that are actually affected by the confidence and the love and the joy of the light of Christ in you. There should be an effect. You just lit the lamp. It's not to be hidden. And it, you were actually called for the purpose of benefiting people. That your light would so shine that people would see your good works and glorify God. You should be pointing to God. And if these things are not happening, do you have the light? That's the question. Why does Jesus put this in this context? Well, he's been talking about receiving the Word of God, right? So how do you receive the Word of God? Did you receive the Word of God? Well, if you receive the Word of God with an honest and good heart, a light was lit and benefit is happening. And you can't cover this. It'll keep on shining brighter. It'll keep on revealing things. And everywhere you go, things will begin to be revealed. Things will come to light. And people will begin to see that light and have a change in their lives. It's not a mistake that Christ will actually refer to himself as the light of the world in John chapter 1. Because he is the one that brings truth in the presence of men. And once again, I think there are going to be times in which that presence of truth is going to be very extremely offensive to people. Jesus will even say, you know, if the world doesn't hate you, you're probably doing something wrong because the world hated me. And that's what the world's going to do. Why is it that they don't like the light? Because they love darkness rather than the light. Because their deeds are evil, John will say. So they're pursuing those things. But in every case, your life is going to be doing something. It's either going to be offending people, or you're going to be enlightening people, and you're going to be a blessing. Because that's what the Word of God does. When it's received with an honest and good heart. And that's the key, isn't it? We have to keep coming back to, how am I receiving this? How am I listening to this? You know, do I see it as just cleverly devised tales, or do I see it as the Word of God for what it really is? I mean, what does Scripture say? Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You know, when I got that straight in my head, this is God's Word. When that finally just got straight in my head, then the Word of God began to mean something to me. Proverbs chapter 2 talks about this whole aspect of how I listen to the Word of God. Do I perceive it as a treasure? Am I listening to that which I go, this is the most valuable thing? One of the reasons why I dissect Scripture to almost a place of a bottomless pit is because I realize this is the Word of God. I need to get this straight. Because if I don't get this straight, and in many respects, this is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. If you look with me in 1 Timothy again, First Timothy chapter 4, if you'll drop on down to verse 13. Paul writes, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. What's the next phrase? Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. Watch verse 16. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, persevere in these things, for as long as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear. In other words, the things that you're preaching, make sure that you get it right. Pay close attention to what you're saying, and pay close attention to what you're doing. Because that word has to become light. And that light has to be done in such a way that men will see your good works and glorify God in heaven. He literally takes the word and he transforms it from something that you have received into something that radiates out. And he fundamentally is saying, if you have received it, you can't help but radiate out. It's going to do that every single time. And it's going to reveal things. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God is how it does reveal in my heart the sins of my life, as was being given as a testimony. You know, you get in the Word and God begins to reveal things that, you know, we've covered up. We've hidden. But if you're coming with an honest and good heart and you go, show me what I need to change, he'll do that. And he'll not only do that, but he'll make you a light. And from that seed will come the seed of light and life to those around you. Father, we come before you today and we ask that you do a transformation in our lives. We hear your word a lot of times. We might even read it. We have to admit, mostly superficially, we walk away and it's like we're forgetful here. We see ourselves in the mirrors and then we walk away and forget, as James would say. What we saw, there is no change. There is no transformation. But who would light a lamp and hide it? Why even come to the Word? Why come to the light of the gospel? There should be purpose in that. And so examine yourselves. You're sitting here today. You're opening up your Bible. What's the reason? Is that the light might shine? Is that you might see things clearly? That you might help those that come in and bring benefit to others? Why are you listening? To listen over and over and over again and to do nothing? To listen and become a part of a church and bear no light to the body? Is to not receive for the purpose that it was meant. But that will be revealed too. And there are some that receive the word gladly at first, but then it just gets darker as the days go by. There are those that receive the word of God and it just gets brighter as the days go by. What's it doing in your life? You pray a sunny place.